This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Friday, May the 20th. I'm Angela Denning. The state and a regional development group are combining forces to develop a new business and management plan for the Alaska Marine Highway System. Governor Bill Walker and Southeast Conference President Gary White signed a memorandum of understanding to begin the process yesterday. Speaking at a ceremony at Juneau's Auk Bay Ferry Terminal, Walker said he hoped the effort would stabilize ferry funding.
Every year you sort of wonder what's the budget going to be like, how much money is going to be there. You don't do that on the Seward Highway, the Richardson Highway. It's always going to be there. And that's why we want to have sort of the stable level of funding that we're talking about that we have available to us if we'll just sort of replumb our revenues a bit so we can look out and say we know what the budget will be 5 years from now.
The Southeast Conference, which includes regional, municipal, business, and tribal officials, was the main force behind creating the ferry system more than 50 years ago. White says the conference wants to create a new governance structure for the ferry system.
We're really looking forward to work with our statewide partners to collaborate and move forward in this new direction to find sustainable solutions and reliable ferry systems for all of our state communities.
The state already has a Marine Transportation Advisory Board made up of port city leaders, ferry customers, and the travel industry, but has no real authority and is often ignored when important decisions are made. The Memorandum of Understanding commits the state to contracting with the conference to develop a new strategic plan. Conference Executive Director Shelley Wright says members are ready to start.
We'll find a contractor, evaluate all of the plans that are out there, go far and wide, and then come up with three or four alternatives. Take those alternatives out to the people of the state of Alaska, have a discussion, take it on the road for a little road show, get the input, and then eventually come up with one option for a governance, and then in January take it to the legislature.
The conference has been pushing for a planning effort for years. During a meeting this spring, members heard from a Seattle consultant who described how ferries are managed in a half dozen other parts of the country. The Marine Highway System's Alaska-class ferries now have names. Governor Bill Walker announced this week that one would be the Taslina and the other the Hubbard. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has more.
Most classrooms don't get this kind of call.
I'm Governor Bill Walker.
And I'm Byron Malott, Lieutenant Governor.
And we have an important announcement today that we wanted to share with you. We're looking for a young lady named Malia Varan. Is she there?
She was at the school in Port Ellsworth on Lake Clark. During the Skype video call, Walker explained that her essay about the Taslina Glacier was a winner in a statewide competition.
You did a very nice job, very nice report. And we have selected you as the recipient of one of the two names for the two ships.
All ferries are named after glaciers. In an interview with KDLG in Dillingham, the seventh grader read the first paragraph of her essay.
The Taslina would be a great name for one of Alaska's new ferries. Imagine stepping out of your car amidst many other parked vehicles. Your heart rapidly beats with excitement. You are on a dock looking at a beautiful ferry in which you will be riding from Skagway all the way to Juneau. Your anxiety and excitement overwhelms you as you breathlessly whisper, "The Taslina. I will be riding on the Taslina."
The name means swift river in Otna Athabascan. The other winner is 10th grader Taylor Thompson of Eagle River, who proposed the name Hubbard. That glacier is near Yakutat, which is Malott's hometown. It's famous for advancing, often rapidly, while most other glaciers are retreating. She also got a call from the governor where she explained her reasoning.
Well, I was looking at the list of all the glaciers in Alaska, and there's a lot, and that one, it was just a really nice name, and I started looking at the glacier and I realized that it was really nice, so I decided to write my essay about it.
Her essay said the glacier, quote, "surpasses all others in its beauty and magnificence. A ferry named after it would surely do the same." Walker said he likes the name because it represents growth and his administration is trying to grow Alaska's economy. Malott said he liked it because the Hubbard is the world's largest tidewater glacier, which ties into Alaska's size. The two essays were chosen from around 450 submitted by Alaska students. One of the judges was ferry system spokesman Jeremy Woodrow, who said it was a hard choice.
the name was part of the consideration, but you really had to put the best well and the most well-written essays forward.
He says one of the more popular names suggested was Marjorie in Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve. The two new state ferries are under construction at the Vigor Alaska Shipyard in Ketchikan. They're due to be completed in 2018. They're slated to sail Northern Lynn Canal between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The Little Norway Festival is very much a Norwegian celebration. The food, clothing, music are all inspired by that country. But this weekend, festival goers will also be treated to music from much further south.
My name is Cristina Cabrera from Mexico.
Cabrera is from Jalapa, the capital of the Veracruz state in Mexico.
So I play the harp because in my town is the most important instrument in Veracruz state. Is very important, the harp.
The song is an original off her CD called Diálogo entre el viento y el mar. Cabrera began studying the harp when she was 13. She started with traditional folk music from her country. She moved on to classical harp and then on to American and international music. That's what Petersburg will hear at her two concerts this weekend. A little of everything.
This concert in Petersburg, I play Mexican music and American music and every happy music.
Cabrera says learning the instrument was sometimes difficult, but she enjoys it so much, all of the work has been worth it.
I play with my heart. When you play or work with your heart, Heart. All is easy, I think.
The guy laughing is Bobby Dolan of Kuprinoff. He's the reason why Cabrera is here. Although she's well-traveled internationally, Cabrera has never been to Alaska. That is, until she met Dolan.
Man, that's a long story.
Here's the gist. Cabrera is the niece of Dolan's girlfriend. For the past 50 years, Dolan has been traveling to Mexico, enjoying the music there. One night in Jalapa, he saw Cabrera play the harp at a recital. All the politicians were there, including the governor of Veracruz. Dolan bought her CD and brought it back to Alaska. That was 13 years ago.
Then you fast forward 13 years to last year's Little Norway Festival, and Evelyn was with me in my house. Evelyn
is your partner?
Evelyn is my novia, yeah. And we're just chatting about all the reasons why I like Jalapa.
He told her about the harp recital and the musician, Cristina Cabrera.
And Evelyn looked at me like she had just seen a ghost, and she said, "Cristina Cabrera is my niece." I said, "Wow." And I walked over to my humble little pile of CDs and I picked out Christina's and I put it on. And we sat there in just stunned silence listening to it.
Besides playing music several times throughout the weekend, Cabrera has other things she wants to try while she's in town.
I went to fishing salmon and eat salmon. I went to discover Alaska.
In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. And Christina Cabrera will be performing two concerts this weekend, tonight and Saturday nights at 7 at the Lutheran Church. It's free, but they are asking for donations. Dolan says he will match the highest donation each night. And weather permitting, Cabrera will also play at the Beer Garden on Saturday and on a flatbed truck in the parade today. Well, Petersburg's Little Norway celebration continues with activities scheduled through Sunday afternoon. For tomorrow, the day starts off early with a Little Norway loop, or Lup the Loop, a 7-kilometer run and walk. Check-in starts at 7 a.m. and the race starts at 8. Sign up online on the Parks and Rec website or at the community gym through today. The Eric Coral Memorial Norski Softball Tournament continues today and tomorrow with the championship game Saturday evening. Joe Vicknicki spoke with Festival Committee Chair Janet Holton about the remainder of the schedule for Saturday and Sunday.
The Visitors Information Center is open again. Salmon Sisters Trunk Show continues at Lee's from 9:30 to 5:30. The Lil Fisk Derby is happening at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that's at the North Harbor. The Festival Committee and multiple businesses sponsor this popular event, and ADF&G lends a hand to, and young anglers will have a chance to learn about catch and release or to hook a fish dinner.
Okay, and people new to the community, anyone, any young child can participate in that?
Right.
Okay.
There's no charge. Just remember your life jacket and your fishing pole.
Okay. Great.
And registration starts at 9:30 for that.
And that's down at North Harbor.
North Harbor.
All right. Coffee Hoos, another popular event from 10 to 1 at Sons of Norway on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yummo. Get your butter and love on.
All right. And that's followed by, of course, the Klaus Museum is open that day from 10 to 5, and the Hoos Fleet are open throughout the day. Women of the Moose Beer Bits to go on Main Street, and there's an Anacapa Open House out at Dock Street from noon to 2 that day. And just moving through many events here, of course, Keto's Cave Beer Garden and Viking Jail open throughout the day. It's going to be a beautiful day, we can hope.
That's our hope. That's our hope.
Beautiful weekend. And also the Harbor Bar Beer Garden open that day. And then Geppetto's Junkyard that's the first showing, I think, of the puppet group at 1 o'clock. Saturday.
Yes, that's at the Wright Auditorium, and the title is Travels in the Belly of a Whale, and the Geppetto's Junkyard is from Haynes. They're a puppeteer group, and the Mitkoff Mummers are sponsoring Geppetto's Junkyard this year, and it's a rollicking Viking tale. Tickets are on sale at Miele Gallery. The doors open at 12:30 p.m. for the first of three showings of Travels in the Belly of a Whale.
Because they're also on at 7 o'clock that night, so two chances on Saturday to see them, and then again on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay, at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Right, at the Wright Auditorium.
Of course, Christina Cabrera plays again 7 o'clock Saturday night as well. And there's also, we should mention, the Little Norway Festival Pageant. Can't forget that. It's from 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Right, and that's in the high school gym. Enjoy Petersburg's rich multi-ethnic heritage through music, drawings, award presentation, and the featured festival dancers. Can't miss those. State and local dignitaries will greet the crowd, and we're going to celebrate.
All-you-can-eat shrimp feed is an option for eating on Saturday afternoon, 4:30 to 7 o'clock at PFI Cookhouse, and that goes to the boys and girls basketball teams. There's lots more on Sunday, too, to mention as well.
Right, you can still see the Racy Stedman Elementary School art around downtown. And at 8 o'clock to 11, the annual festival Pancake Breakfast, St. Catherine's Catholic Church at 3rd and Dolphin. And it's a hearty breakfast as you ease your way into the final day of the festival.
And the people can worship at a church of their choice that morning. And then, of course, Klaus Museum, it's your last chance to view the art share. 10 to 2 that day. Visitors Information Center is open, and then the very popular Rotary Club Seafood Bake and Barbecue is at noon that day.
Right. Starts at noon. Ultimate meal of grilled salmon, rockfish, black cod with the works on the side, all while visiting with friends. Fabulous Frederick Sound right there.
And it's out at Sandy Beach.
Right. And find out who won the Chamber of Commerce raffle ticket drawing, rather. And that's for Alaska Airlines tickets, or cash or gift certificates to the chamber.
Okay. And there's a Bloody Mary bar at the Harbor Bar that day if you are just getting going at noon.
Absolutely. And at 2 p.m., there is a couple things happening. Territorial Homes Slideshow, that's happening at the Fire Hall. And at 2 p.m., a concert of Scandinavian music. Petersburg Lutheran Church is the place where you can take that in, and it's presented by the Petersburg Piano Society. And then at 3 o'clock, your last chance to see Geppetto's Junkyard Travels in the Belly of a Whale.
Okay, and that rounds out the schedule for...
It does.
All right.
Yes, and thank you to everyone who makes this festival possible. There are hundreds of people that do, and we're grateful.
All right, and get out there and enjoy.
Of course, many events are going on today, including the Style Show at 12:30, coming up in about 10 minutes. The parade happens at 4 o'clock today. Then the roller derby happens at the high school tonight. Doors open at 6. Roller derby starts at 6:20 and the main event at 7. Also, there's Christina Cabrera's concert at 7 as well at the Lutheran Church. You can get all of the scheduled information on our website, kfsk.org. And we will be right back with the Stocks Report. It is Friday, May the 20th, and that means it is time for our Stocks Report with Dan Berg. He's a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington, and he's joining us right now by telephone. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Angela.
How's it going today?
Well, the stock market had a pretty good day. The week was neither here nor there. There wasn't a whole lot of positive action in the market. It might have been because of the Federal Reserve Bank. There were notes from the last meeting that were issued, and to everybody's surprise, it looks as though they're thinking of maybe raising interest rates in June or possibly July, which is sooner than what the market was expecting. And so when that news came out, things sold off just a little bit. In other economic news, we had some pretty good housing numbers, and to nobody's surprise, existing homes are selling fairly well in the Midwest where people can actually afford them. But on the West Coast, not so much. Prices are beginning to limit affordability for people. Over in the EU, there are lots of speculation regarding Britain's exit from the EU, which is looming larger and larger. Right now, the polls are showing it to be about a 50-50 thing. And there is an emerging consensus that that would be a fairly large negative, at least in the short term, for the UK economy. Over in Asia, we had some pretty good news from Japan. They're trying mightily over there to stimulate the economy, and they finally got a little bit of growth in the first quarter. They had a 1.7% annual rate. It's, you know, much less than what we've been doing here in the U.S., but for them, that was pretty good. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 17,500. That was off about 35 points for the week. Really no change. The NASDAQ did somewhat better, though. The NASDAQ closed at 4,769. That's a little bit better than a 1% rise. That was the best of the major indices. And the S&P closed at 2,052, a very slight rise for the week. Oil for next month's delivery in West Texas, it's 47.75. That's up a buck and a half. However, during the course of the week, It was a couple of dollars higher than that. Apparently, there is some real concern about supply being curtailed from places like Nigeria. And, of course, Canada has been in the news. But that has been supporting prices that were a little bit higher than people had expected just a short time ago. And gold came down fairly sharply this week to $1,252. As the U.S. dollar rose this week, gold fell. And in the bond market, with the new talk from the Federal Reserve, yields were sharply higher across the board. The 30-year Treasury rose to 2.63, and the 10-year Treasury at 1.84%.
All right. Well, thanks for that information. Anything in individual stocks that you might want to touch on?
Yeah, it was quite interesting this week in retail. There's some real winners and losers shaking out, and the word is that things that are based in a mall aren't doing so well, but other places maybe a little bit better. Walmart surprised everybody. That stock had done poorly for a few years, and they had been struggling to improve sales. Symbol WMT, however, surged over 12% this week. It had its best day in years yesterday. That closed at $69.86. Home Depot continues to chug on with good sales. Symbol HD closed at $131.85. Pretty good earnings from Home Depot and also their competitor Lowe's. Target, not quite as much. Symbol TGT closed at $68.66. Over in the tech world, Cisco, symbol CSCO, closed at $27.97. They had a good earnings report. John Deere, on the other hand, symbol DE, closed down fairly sharply today to $77.54. The agricultural sector is really struggling right now with low prices and somewhat higher input costs in some ways. So John Deere is close to a multi-year low. Monsanto, symbol MON, the agricultural chemical and seed company, was up to $101.52. There is a potential buyout by Bayer, the big German chemical company. And then finally, Alaska Air, symbol ALK, closed at $65.21.
All right. What about next week? Anything coming up we should know about?
Well, next week will be a little bit lighter in the news department, I think. There is not quite so much in economic news. Janet Yellen will be speaking, which the market will be listening to closely, of course. We'll also get some new home sales numbers and durable goods. But the earnings season is basically over now. However, we do have a few companies that will be announcing. The one I'll watch most closely is Costco. If I could only find a parking place in the Kirkland Costco on some days, that would be nice. We also get earnings from Hewlett-Packard Enterprises and Hewlett-Packard, and a couple others of interest include Best Buy, the computer retailer.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Dan, for all of that information, and we will be joining you again next Friday.
Thanks, Angela. Have a good weekend.
You too. Dan Berg is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member of SIPC. Neither Wells Fargo Advisors nor its financial professionals are legal or tax advisors.
And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.